Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along in your Bible with me, I will be speaking to you from Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and I want to begin this message by reading a few of the verses here, starting with verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus, he," speaking of the Apostle Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." He said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." The Apostle Paul knew by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit that he would never see these dear believers ever again. He called them all together and he said some final words to them. These brethren that he loved so much, he preached the gospel to them and they loved each other so much. But he knew these were his final words. And he said a few other things to them. And then in verse 36, it says, "When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Now, I got to thinking about that. And the thought went through my mind that if this was my last message to preach to any man or woman, what would I want that man or woman to know? If this was my last time to speak the truth of God's word, what would I want people to know? Or if this was the last time a man or a woman heard the gospel before they went to go stand before the judgment throne. We are all going to stand before the throne of God. And men and women go every day. They go at every moment in time all over this world. And if this was a man or a woman's last time to hear the gospel before they go, what would I want them to hear? What would they need to know? If this was my last message, I would want men and women to know these three things concerning natural man, concerning the natural flesh, the mindset of humanity. Number one, this is what I would want men and women to know. God is not who man thinks he is. God is not who man thinks he is. Man has an image and a way made up in his mind. And that's not who God is. Man's ways are not God's ways. God is not who man thinks he is. Number two, man is not what he thinks he is. Man thinks he's something when he's nothing. He is not what he thinks he is. And number three, salvation is not what the majority of religion thinks it is. It's not. It is most definitely not what the majority of religion is declaring it to be. It's not what men are standing up in pulpits declaring it to be. It's not. It is just not. Masses of people are going to go stand before God, not knowing who God is, thinking they are something when they're not, pleading a salvation that is no salvation at all. And I don't want that to be us. I really don't. I don't want that to be you. I mean that. I don't want that to be me. I want us to know who God is. Do you want to know who God is? I do. I want us to truly know who God is. I want us to know who we are. I want us to know that. We need to know that. And I want us to know what salvation is. What salvation truly is. Not what this one thinks it is or that one thinks it is. I want to know, what is it really? What is salvation? Now, some will say, well, what difference does it make? We may not have it all right. We may not believe every single thing that's in the Bible, but what difference does it make? Well, turn with me over to John chapter 8. If you have your Bible, look with me at some of these scriptures. John chapter 8, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And in verse 23, he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Oh, if we only realized what he means in that. If men and women only understood what he means by that. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And that's what difference it makes. Over in John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If men and women only understood what that meant, if they only understood what that meant, men and women naturally do not understand what our Lord is saying right there. And to not understand what he's saying, to not see and truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, if a man or woman does not do that, the wrath of God will abide on that man or woman. The wrath of God. And that's what difference it makes. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know who God is. And we need to know what the gospel is. We truly do, because God is holy. God is holy. That's what all of this is telling us. God is holy. That is so far from what is being told about him. That is so far from what is being preached about him today. Men and women do not naturally know that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. He is not the man upstairs. And he is not anybody's co-pilot. He's holy. He's holy. Now, what does holy mean? We can say that he's holy, but what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means he must punish sin. He must punish sin. It means he is pure and right and just, and that's all that he is. That's all that he is. Therefore, he cannot and he will not allow anything that is contrary to what is pure and right and just to continue. He cannot. He will put an end to it. He will by no means clear the guilty. He must do what's right. He must. He's holy. He's holy. Look with me over at Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews 10, it says in verse 30, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord." And if you're reading along with me, you may notice that the word Lord is a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he said, the Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, shall judge his people. We need to know this. We need to know this. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to know this. Most people don't know who the living God is. Who is the living God? Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, I will recompense, saith the Lord. He is holy. He is holy. His word is holy. Look at one of the last things that he said to us. One of his last words to us over in Revelation 22, verse 18. He said, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book," this entire book that he has written for us. He said, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Man naturally does not know who God is. He doesn't know who he's dealing with. He does not know who he's dealing with. But man must know that. Mankind, men and women must know that. And here's the reason why. All are sinners. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we must go stand before a holy God who must punish sin. Now, that's the truth. That is the truth. People naturally do not understand sin. Man naturally does not understand how deep sin goes within him. How far it reaches into the things that he does. Man knows that murder is sin. He understands that. He knows that murder is sin. But what he does not understand is that the pride that comes from not committing murder is a greater sin in God's eyes than the murder itself. Our Lord said, this is the thing he hates most of all. Not murder. That's not what he said. Pride. Pride. That's the thing he hates most of all. The number one place to find pride is in religion. Number one place to find it. There is more sin in religion than in anywhere else on this earth. And to clarify that, I'm going to say false religion. False religion. There's more sin in religion, false religion, than any other place on this earth. Man naturally does not understand that. People will hear that and say, what? What do you mean? Man is eaten up with sin everywhere, in every way. He has no idea. The bar stools are eaten up with sin. The pews are eaten up with sin. Church pews are just eaten up with sin. But man naturally doesn't understand that. He does not see that. Our Lord saw it, and He warned us of it. If you look with me at Matthew chapter 6, over in Matthew 6, verse 1, our Lord said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues." You see that? "The hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." He said they're hypocrites. That's amazing. That's an amazing word. Verse 5, He said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 16, He said, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Who's He talking about in all that? Who is He warning of in all of that? He's talking about the religious. That's who He's talking about. He's talking about tithing. He's talking about praying. He's talking about fasting in the synagogues, churches. He said sin is mixed with all of it. All of it. There is nowhere that a man can go to get away from sin. Nowhere. There is nothing that a man can do, including tithing and praying, that doesn't have sin attached to it. When we're talking about man's doings in his own flesh, sin is attached to all of it. In the flesh, man will never get away from sin. And here's the reason why. It's inside of him. It's inside me. It's inside you. It's inside us. Look at Matthew 7, verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day," our Lord is speaking, "many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" That means sin. He said, "Your preaching was sin. Your casting out devils in my name was sin. Your wonderful works were sin." In the flesh, I'm telling you, in the flesh, man will never be able to get away from sin. And it's because it's inside him. It's inside him. Here's the proof of it. Here's the proof of it to every man and woman. This will prove whether or not a man or a woman has sin inside him. Some will hear this and say, "No, don't speak for me. I don't have sin inside me." Here's how we can tell. Here's the proof of it. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 5. In Romans 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death entered the world because sin entered the world. The moment sin entered the world, death came. Death is the result of sin. And death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. If we want to know whether or not sin is inside us, all we need to do is wait and see if we die. That's all we need to do. We'll wait and see if we die. If we die, then it means sin was inside us. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's what you get. That's what comes because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Where sin is, death is. Where no sin is, no death is. It's the reason why there's not going to be any death in glory in heaven. There's no sin there. Now, all of us are going to experience a physical death. All of us. And what that means is all of us have sin in us. And all of us are going to stand before a holy God. If this holy God must punish sin, and if sin is what we are, then what hope do we have? If he must, and if that's what we are, then what hope do we have? What is the only hope that a sinner has before a holy God? Is it, well, I need to give more. I need to give more money. No. No. Our Lord told us in Matthew 6, sin is mixed with that. Is it, well, I need to pray more. I just need to pray more. No. Our Lord told us in Matthew 6, sin is mixed with that. Is it, well, I need to fast more. I need to do more. I need to work more. I need to deny myself more. No. Our Lord told us sin is mixed with that. He said in Matthew 7, many will come to him and say, we've done all these wonderful works in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. It's all sin. So if there's nothing we can do to bring salvation to ourselves because sin is mixed with everything we do, then what hope do we have of being saved? Here it is right here. Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is something that God does. It's that plain and simple. Salvation is something that God does. It is a gift that only he can give. It is a work that only he can do. And here's the reason why. Only a sinless man can enter into heaven. Only a sinless man. And the only sinless man that has ever walked the face of this earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. One sinless man. The Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is the only man worthy to walk through the gates of heaven. The only man. But this is what God chose to do. God the Father chose to send his Son, his perfect, spotless Son, to be the substitute for his people. He said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He did not come to show his people how to get rid of their sin. They couldn't do that. He came to take the sin of his people off of them, and he came to lay it on himself and to press it into himself. He made himself to be sin, their sin, the sin of His chosen people. And when He did that, He wiped the slate of all of those chosen people clean. When He took all of the sin off of them, He completely wiped their slate clean. He got their sin, and they got His perfection, His cleanliness, His spotlessness. And then He brought Himself, and He brought all of His people, all the souls He did that for. He brought all of them before God to stand before God. And we stood there with Him. We stood there in Him. He had our sin on Him. And He gave us His perfection. We had His perfection on us. And with our sin on Him, God gave to Him exactly what we deserved. Punishment, wrath. He's holy. He's holy. He must punish sin. And He did. He poured it all out on Christ, who had all our sin on Him, covered in our sin. And with His righteousness on us, God gave to us exactly what Christ deserved. He had to. Honor, glory, acceptance. He had to. He's holy. He must do what's right. In that very moment, God the Father denied His Son and welcomed us in. And the whole transaction was just, holy, and right. Here's the truth of the matter. People ask the question and they wonder in their heart, have I made my peace with God? That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. Here's the truth. This is the relevance. Has God made His peace with me? That's all I need to know. Has God made His peace with me? That's the only hope that a sinner has before God. Not what I have done, but what He has done. If God ever makes peace for a sinner, He will send His Spirit to that sinner and will say to his heart, Christ did it all. And if a sinner ever becomes convinced and settled in that, He took my place and did it all, then salvation has come. I pray the Lord might teach us. I pray the Lord might declare all the counsel of God to us and cause us to not shun to speak it publicly. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.